I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
Ohio woman was accused of trying to poison a housemate's food with insecticide. She pleaded guilty Tuesday to a misdemeanor offense after problems emerged with evidence in the case, like, oh, they had her on camera spraying insecticide on the victim's food before returning it to the refrigerator.
And her roommate's an insect.
Based on that, she pleaded guilty to putting insecticide and trying to poison her roommate. Our question, when did food do you dirty? 206-421-ROCK.
I've never openly tried to poison anyone. I'm not above it. No. Just saying I haven't. But I would feel like something like insecticide, I feel like anyone would notice.
You know what I mean? You feel like these, a really sharp taste.
Like these murder things, and people like will crush sleeping pills, but they mix it in like a sauce. But like, if you just spray my food with rain, mm-hmm. I think I would give that a pass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody here, it says, I grow my own veggies at home. Many years ago, I'd been to a salad that I had harvested that day. I had washed it thoroughly, or so I thought. Next thing I knew, I was chewing on a fresh slug, slime and all. To this day, I wash every single leaf individually, one at a time. Salad PTSD is real. Dude, I think of all the things I could bite into, a living creature, a slug is probably at the very... I'd rather bite into a roach.
Really?
We just ate snails?
Based on the consistency?
Man, look, I know I ate snails. The difference is they called it escargot. So even though they probably just dug
they're
it out
of... They're also cooked.
They're cooked, right. And it was not easy for me to initially eat the snails because you get in your own head.
Mm-hmm.
Miles finally cracked it up and said, man, just eat it. And in the end, it tastes like butter and garlic, right? But I still had to ignore... I appreciated the flavor, but I had to ignore the fact that it's a snail. But an unexpected slug, even if you cook them, right? And you said, this is a cooked cockroach, this is a grasshopper, this is a tarantula, and here's a slug. I'm picking slug last.
You, okay.
That's fair. Even if you cooked it. I mean, every single time.
You cooked about everything. You know, let me ask you this, being in the kitchen. What was the craziest thing that you saw from your years of being a chef? Like, as far as, did you ever see anybody cut their finger completely off? Was there a fire that was out of control?
Yes.
Was there anything that was just like, the answer is yes.
Look, I mean, if you work in a kitchen at a restaurant, people cut themselves, burn themselves all the time, and then all the time.
You told us about the story with a woman who had pierced nipples who leaned over a hot
She opened the oven to pull something out. We did not know she had pierced nipples, as it is none of our business, but I mean, she screamed at the top of her lungs and dropped the pan. You know, so we're like, what is going on? She has her hands over her boobs. And she's like, look, I got pierced nipples, and the heat from the oven hit the metal of her nipple piercings, man, and lit her ass up. So I agreed to switch stations with her.
Okay. But, what's the worst fire you ever saw?
The worst fire, and actually this fire, oddly enough, so we had a surprise visit from the Maryland Health Department. And as far as health departments go, California is the most stringent. Maryland actually ranks number two. So when they come in, man, they are... super.
Do you think that's
thorough.
Because of the amount of seafood that's served?
I don't know. I mean, it's just jurisdiction. Like, Louisiana, I don't know if they have a health department. The things I've seen there, I'll save that one for last. But as far as fires go, we had a surprise inspection. It was during lunch. And we actually passed with flying colors. And we felt really, really good about this. It means we keep a clean kitchen, all the food's at the right temperature, blah, blah, blah. So she decided to stay and ordered a salad. And she's going to write up the report, right? So she's sitting at the end of our bar, writing the report, and as I'm talking to her, one of the cooks comes out of the kitchen and just says, hey, man, can I talk to you for a second in the kitchen? So something ominous is going on. So I walk in and he goes, the flue over the wood-burning grill that we had, there's liquid metal raining down. I said, man, no, there's not. Come on, that's ridiculous. And I walk back there, and sure enough, there are drops of metal coming down. Turns out there was a fire up in this chimney, but according to the fire department later, it had to have been smoldering for days, maybe weeks, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And it got to the point that it's melting the metal. So we're like, Jesus Christ, this is unbelievable. We go up to the roof of the building.
Bless you, Ted.
We go up to the roof of the building, and there is, sure enough, there's a fire. Anyway, I had to go back out to where this woman was. I'm like, hey, I know we just passed this health department thing. I need to ask you to leave. And she's like, well, what's wrong? I said, my kitchen's on fire. I mean, there's no way. I can't sugarcoat this. You know what I mean? You got to go. We ended up putting out the fire before the fire department got there, but they still do their thing. So when they got, we'd put out the fire. We're going to close for the rest of the day. But when they got there, just to be safe, they still want to run hoses, you know, put out
in it. Yeah.
Dude, and it just blew. But, you know, it's not like they aim the hose up and blow it out of the roof. They go on the roof and blow it down. And you're just watching gallons of this jet black water just going all through your kitchen. We had to get rid of all the food, go through all this crap. We reopened like 2 or 3 days. I mean, it sucked. It was a bad experience. There's always
2 or 3 days. It's still got to be hustling to get it back up to like.
You're hustling to get it back up, but you lose so much money because you didn't make money for 2 or 3 days. But then you have to reorder all of your food again. But you're ordering with money you don't quite have. You know what I mean? But that's the owner's problem, not mine. So I can live with that. But that's the worst fire I'd seen. You always see stuff on fire, but usually it's out quick. As far as cutting a digit off, my old boss, Joel, and I've said this one before, he's coming in to help us prep. He has a head of romaine lettuce. And he grabs, we have like a magnet board with a bunch of different knives, and he pulls out this 17-inch scimitar that you use to cut big-ass hunks of meat. And I looked over at him, I said, Joel, come on, man. Do not use that knife on lettuce. You're going to hurt yourself. Joel, you don't think I know what I'm doing? I was like, you're the one with a goddamn sword in your hand to cut lettuce. No, I really do not, but whatever. I go back to my station, and then you just hear, I need help. And walk back around to where Joel is. His thumb is sitting on the cutting
board. Oh, no.
Joel is standing about 2 feet away from the cutting board, and there's blood everywhere, and he has gotten pasty, pasty white because all of his blood is leaving his body.
Were they able to reattach his thumb?
They were, and I was so pissed off. Like, I knew he needed help, but it's like, God damn it, man. Like, this is exactly what we're talking about. So we grab his thumb, put it in a bag, put it on ice.
Jeez, what's it like grabbing somebody's thumb?
It is disturbing. It is.
That is very weird.
Yeah, it's exactly what you think it is. Right. But in like,
should I be attached to the body.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. If I had just walked in there and Joel wasn't there and there was just a thumb on the cutting board, wouldn't have touched it. But understanding the circumstance, put it in the bag, send his ass off in the ambulance. A different restaurant I worked at. This is just gross. Not because you ate it. It's just this weird Guatemalan guy. He worked in the back and he did prep. And we're doing lobster as a special. And one of the things you do, you cut these things in the chest and you rip the heart out. Okay, so he had a cutting board where there's a pile of actual lobster.
Wait a minute, if you have a live lobster, you can't just steam the thing?
We could, but for the way we're preparing, we're not doing it. We're not serving you live lobster. You weren't coming in that night. This was a special that we had to prep up and all this stuff. So he's cutting the hearts out of these things. And then the corner of his cutting board, there's like 60 hearts, you know, just a heart for each lobster that he's prepping. And he's like, Steve, come here. Watch this. So I walk back there and it's already weird, you know, but I understand. So there's all these hearts on the cutting board and he's drinking Coke. And he puts his thumb over the top of the straw and drops a little bit of Coke on the hearts. And that little bit of caffeine, these things start beating again. Right? They're like jumping beans. And he's just laughing. And I'm like, I think we have a goddamn serial killer. Like, because he called everybody back there to watch it all the time. But when I worked in New Orleans, the first place I got a gig, it was this pizza joint. It is across the street from my apartment. Fine. I can do this. No problem. So my first day there, we're prepping up, you know, they're kind of walking me through the motions and everything, but our prep room was kind of behind where the main kitchen is, but you had to walk through this doorway. And I walked through the doorway, and it's a separate room, but this room then opened up out into where the parking lot would be. And it is very hot in New Orleans, so that door was open. But when I walked into the prep room, keep in mind, there's dough and there's produce. Predominantly, that's all that's in there. And there have to be 75 to 80 pigeons eating everything. I mean, they're pecking at the dough, they're eating the tomatoes, they're going through the... I mean, I'm in there, like, yelling at them, shoo them all out, and they all come blowing out of there. I close the door, I walk back, tell the guys training me, I go, hey, man, I just walked into prep room. It's like, we were being overrun by pigeons. He's like, well, you know, that's what they do, man. We got to keep that door open because it gets real hot. I'm like, no, I get it. I don't think you heard me. Like, pigeons are physically, like, they're standing on the pizza dough, eating it, and crapping on stuff. He's like, well, we just need the dough, get the finger or the footprints out, man.
Jesus.
They were dead serious. So, man, when I've told you a million times, like, when I go to New Orleans, the food is delicious. But having seen some of the things I've seen there, it is unbelievable how little they care about what may or may not be happening to the dish they're about to give you. I'm very selective about the places I'll eat and the things I'll eat. That's why I would not get crawfish at all. That was a situation. We had a big rainstorm. You're below sea level, so none of the water drains. It just pools at intersections. And I remember walking out of my apartment, and there is a massive pool of water. We had big rainstorms, but there's a dead black cat, and it's laying on its side, obviously, but it's floating, and it's slowly spinning in a circle, right, just with the current in the water. And there's all these crayfish eating it. And I just thought to myself, this is New Orleans. I know how they roll. It would not be above them. I'm not kidding. To go out there with a net, scoop up half these crayfish, throw them in a pot of boiling water, and serve them to your ass.
Yeah, well, that's
what they eat from that day.
But that's what they eat. They eat crap.
I know they eat crap. I know crabs eat
crap. You just
have
to see it.
I know, right. And that's the difference, man. But, and the other thing, there was a dead cat, the crayfish, and there was a used condom. And I'm just looking at this like,
it's just part of the special flavor.
I will never eat crayfish in New Orleans. I just won't because, like I said, the things I experienced there, no other city that I cooked in were they as lax. About if you drop something on the floor, it wasn't even like brush it off. They're like throw it away. Right? Believe it or not, most restaurants you go to, man, they are looking out for you. But New Orleans, they don't care.
When did food do you dirty? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Jordan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so my story comes when I was about 10. And we went to a movie theater. We went to a triple feature. And every single time that the movie would start again, I'd get another bucket of popcorn and another hot dog and another drink. And so that time, like three or four, as I was, as we were watching, and so I felt fine after the triple feature, but then I got home, and that night, I just felt absolutely terrible, and I couldn't even, figure out why, and I threw up all over the place, and then I realized that I had had that much popcorn, that many hot dogs, that many pretzels at the triple feature.
You're 100%
yeah.
Right.
You gorge yourself.
As a kid, your parents always warn you about all that stuff. And you're like, that's so stupid. And every once in a while, you proved them right. My kids have done it rarely, but my son, about a week ago, same kind of thing. Kept warning them all day. And my wife's like, hey, you got to stop. He'll figure it out, man. Let him. About 2 hours passes. My man collapses on the sofa holding his stomach. Like, what's up, man? It's like, I don't feel good. I said, okay, well, the next time me and your mom keep telling you not to eat all that crap, this is why. I don't want to hear another word about it. Mm-hmm. Then he rocked the bathroom for 20 minutes, man. And, dude, nobody's poop smells good. And normally, he's probably the least defensive out of all of us that live in the house. When he was done pooping, my daughter came running into the office to find me to tell me that the dog had pooped somewhere in the house, but she couldn't find it. I'm like, that was not the dog.
I mean,
that was your brother.
Is it worse as an adult? Because there's sometimes I do it to this day. Right? Especially after Christmas or something, right? We're talking about eating crab dip and this and that. And you're like, you know it's going to make you feel bad.
But see, here's the difference, right? When you're an adult, your problems are yours.
Yeah.
So, Ted, if you want to keep drinking or if you want to gorge yourself on food, you're not going to call me for comfort later. You're not going to sit on my lap. You're not going to poop in my toilet. You know what I mean? You're not going to sweat and cry on me. You'll just tell me the next day, I ate too much. I get it. When kids do this, it's like, this has become my problem now. This is why. Look, again, when you live on your own, do what you want to do. I would tell you, don't drink, don't do drugs. Mm-hmm. I do both.
Yeah.
And you know what? When I feel like crap in the morning, I don't climb into your bed when you're sleeping to tell you that I can't sleep. To me, that's the whole difference.
One of the biggest things that pissed my daughter off, man, was the fact that I wouldn't let her eat ice cream before dinner. And she was like, why? And I was like, look, it's just this rule. Right. It doesn't say it on the carton, but it's not an appetizer. I was like, you can have a snack, but you know what? No ice cream. You can have ice cream later. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you're not going to have ice cream before dinner. it's not going to ruin, you know, my, you know, appetite. Like, no, you just can't do it. I'm sorry. It's just a rule I got.
You got to go every time. My daughter's the same way.
If you let them in one little foot in the door, man, they will just bust that door down, and they'll try it every single time.
Can I have an ice cream cone before dinner?
No.
Why do you keep asking me?
Right, I'm not a parent, but that just goes against the natural order.
Exactly.
You have something spicy as an appetizer, the dinner's good, and then you finish with a sweet treat.
My daughter would say, there's nothing on the card that says I can't have this before dinner. I'm like, I know that. There's no rule.
To her credit, that's a decent line.
It was.
But there's nothing on the card that says you got to live here.
Yeah, right.
I mean, so let's go through options.
When did food do you dirty? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. So, I'll set this story up a little bit. Some friends of mine that I was going to college with, we met some girls at the Ice Capades at some nightclub down in Seattle. They were doing their show the whole bit, and it was the weekend before Thanksgiving, and we were supposed to go meet them in Spokane. At the arena that they were going to do the Ice Capades again the weekend after Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving happens, eat some turkey that was undercooked. The next morning, I am just throwing up in the shower. I'm supposed to go pick up all my boys. We're supposed to drive from Puyallup to Spokane or to Pullman, and I'm just dying, right? But guess who I am? I'm the guy with the car. No one else has a car. Right. So I'm that guy. So they're all telling me, dude, just buck up, man. We'll drive. You ride in the back seat. You know, so from Puyallup to Pullman, I must have thrown up 20 times.
Damn. Jesus.
And so they get there. This is how nice my friends are. This is when, you know, girls take precedence over friendship. They drive me to the emergency room, drop me off in my own car, and they go, dude, we'll be back. And they go hook up with these girls from the Ice Capades, and I spend the night in the hospital with intestinal tract food poisoning.
Oh, my God.
I mean, yeah. Certainly you understand, right? Like,
no, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have done anything. You got them there. You did your part. That's a fact.
I mean, but what are they going to do? They're not doctors, you know? So, like, hey, we took you to the place you need to be to help you do the stuff, but I'm sleeping with an Ice Capade.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they went and had their fun and hung out with the Ice Fade girls while I was hooked up to four or five IVs trying to rehydrate.
I was going
to
say. And it's so painfully slow. Like, I've had three bags before. And it's just like you're looking at this thing dripping like, I want to go home. Can they drip this thing any faster?
Yeah, and if you've ever had intestinal tract food poisoning, just put a gun in your mouth.
What is
the worst? Your stomach, your body, there's nothing that doesn't hurt, and you're constantly throwing up until they get this medicine in you.
Yeah, that's any food poisoning is bad food poisoning. I hate the idea that there's a worse version of food poisoning.
Did they come back and check on you? I mean, how did they know you needed to spend the night in the hospital? I mean, if you go to the ER, typically it's just whatever the wait time is.
They came back the next morning. After they had partied all night with the Ice Capade girls.
But what if your situation wasn't as bad, right? And they, you know, I don't know, gave you something to puke and you're out of there in 1 hour. Did you have any way to reach them like, hey, guys, come get my ass?
No. No, this is like 1987. No cell phones, no Uber, no nothing. I would have had to get a taxi and, you know, figure it out.
Well, it's 2021 now. So if we're in the same situation and I have a chance I'm to hook up at this Ice Capade, I would take your cell phone. Just be like, look, he'll be mad. But I don't want him ruining this for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they did. That's what they did.
Okay.
Look, I get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the right thing, but I get why his buddies did that.
It's not the right thing. But it is the same decision that would be made every time.
Yeah. But you know what? You owe that guy one.
That's
basically what it is.
Yeah, no worries.
I mean, because you can't imagine. It's one thing to meet up with a group of girls, but if they're in the Ice Capades.
Right. It's a bucket list item you didn't even know was on your bucket list.
This is going to be, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the Ice Capades before, but.
I mean, I know they're limber.
They're not praying around a bunch of ugly guys like us. I mean, it's not like that at all, man. It's like a beauty pageant on ice.
Yeah, I'd be there, man. Mm-hmm. By the way, someone texted in. It says, Steve, you said you would not poison somebody on purpose, which is true. That's big of me. But didn't you take some lettuce or kale, put it in your sweaty crotch? I think I'd rather be poisoned. First of all, it was spinach. And yes, I did. And that person deserved it. It was not poisoned. And it was wilted spinach in the risotto. I wilted the spinach with my genitals, slammed it in her risotto, stirred it up, and watched her eat it. And here's the difference. It put me in a better mood because she had kind of ruined my mood and I was very angry. When you get angry at work, you get distracted. Well, then I was very celebratory and I could not wait to cook more meals.
I will say, I think on some level, we've all poisoned somebody.
Intentionally?
Yeah, get another shot in you. It'd be okay, good for
yeah.
you.
Well, yeah, right. For sure, for sure.
I've seen people in this room poison other people. Smoke yes. this. Mm-hmm. Take a shot of this.
This drink.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. We know it's 9 a.m. It's good for you.
Don't look at me.
When did food do you dirty? 206-421-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. Yay! You're in the men's room.
Coming up, the return of Who Sucks Less right after emails on our question, when did food do you dirty? 206-421-ROCK.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, Jose. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, muchachos.
Hola.
Well, my story starts off, I was in the sixth grade, and we've been having a competition all week long of who can drink the most milk cartons, you know, those little milk cartons you would get for lunch.
Yeah.
At the time, we were eating lunch in the classrooms, and it was my turn to be a drink 21 of them little guys.
In one sitting?
Yes, at lunch. And I discovered I was lactose intolerant because of that. I was sitting in there in the classroom, and when we started our normal class, and I felt the bubble guppies coming up. I felt my stomach rumbling and tumbling and raised my hand and asked the teacher if I could, I was going to ask her if I could go to the restroom, and she would keep telling me, wait till I'm done talking. Finally, I couldn't wait no more. I jumped out of my seat, ran out of the classroom because we lived literally across the schoolyard, which was like a football and a half away from the house.
Right.
So I start running, and she chases after me, yelling at me, and she doesn't come after me. She just turns around. Halfway through the schoolyard, I stop running because now there's no more running because now I'm clenching my cheeks as tight as I can because it's going to happen. And I start walking, doing the shuffle walk, trying to get to my house, which is not even 100 yards away. But halfway there, it just opened up. And once it opened up, I said, forget about it. I started running, and as every step I took, it was, stuff coming out. I was crying. I can remember getting home, and my mom was out in the backyard. She sees me crying. She's like, what's going on? She runs up to me. As soon as she ran up to me, she knew what was going on.
I bet you did. Mm-hmm.
She could smell it.
You were lucky that you lived across the street from your house, because I know you didn't have a change of clothes on you. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Now, is that lactose intolerance, or is it just the fact that you took down 21 small cartons of whole milk?
I think it's lactose intolerance, because to this day, I won't drink milk anymore, because when I do drink milk, it affects me.
Okay, yeah, but that's probably it.
So, but when I got home, the funny thing is, when I got home, I told my mom, I just want to go inside and change. And my mom's like, oh, no. She grabbed the water hose. She says, put this down your pants and clean yourself up.
I don't want this in my house.
Did you end up going back to school?
No, I did not go back to school. And as I'm rinsing myself off, I hear the phone ringing, and it was the school calling my mom saying, your son left school. And yeah, it was not good. It was a bad, bad time. And I was forced to change outside. I was not allowed to go inside until I was thoroughly rinsed. And just getting undressed in front of my mom was the worst part of it, I think.
Well, yeah.
See, now that's
the problem. It was horrible.
At least when I was in school, maybe it's changed, I don't know. But the only milk, they had chocolate milk, obviously. They had skim milk, but otherwise it was whole milk. Right? So, like, right now in my fridge, it's 2%. That'll do a bit of a number on me, but every once in a while, like, you're at a hotel or something, and I don't think about it. They get their crappy little continental breakfast. I don't realize that it is whole milk in my little bowl of cornflakes. And, I mean, it tastes delicious, man. It is so creamy and good. But within 10 minutes, I'm like, I need a toilet. Uh-huh. Like, I need a toilet.
That's the only time I eat cereal. It's the continental breakfast at a hotel.
Really?
Always grab cereal there.
Yeah. It depends what's left, man. Because I eat plenty of cereal at, well, Cinnamon Toast Crunch at home. But again, 2% milk, I can deal with it. But at the continental breakfast, man, I don't know. Like, if they got the waffles, I'm going there. Especially if you can make your own. Definitely.
Yeah, I love the little waffle machine.
And if you're lucky enough that there is someone at the egg station, I'm like, I'm in.
That's right. Hit that orange juice machine and just do the damage, just like one cup after another.
Well, I do drink a lot of the orange juice.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's an egg station, sure. But I feel like the continental breakfast is usually like biscuits and gravy. There's some kind of muffin. Scrambled eggs. Right. There's muffin. There's the cereal, the juice.
If they have bagels and lox, I'm in. That's huge.
When did food do you dirty? 206-421-ROCK.
Bagels and lox doesn't count on a continental breakfast at a hotel.
What do you mean doesn't count? When I was in Kansas City, right, for that Chiefs-Ravens game, I was delighted because I went down. They were like, let's meet for the continental breakfast. And I'm already pre-disappointed because it's, you know, fruit and yogurt and the crap you can add to your yogurt so it doesn't taste like ass. And they had bagels. They had lox, cream cheese. I was in hog heaven, man.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. That makes sense.
I've never been to one that fancy, I don't think.
Dude, this was not fancy. This place was not okay. Fancy.
But I like that he rolled the dice and got the lox.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, salmon in Kansas City. Oh, it's world famous.
It had to be fresh.
when it's like their sushi. When did food do you dirty? 206-421-RUN.
I stayed at a very nice hotel for a wedding last September.
All right.
Right? We had talked about it. You haven't stayed there yet. You want to stay there.
Okay, yeah.
Their bagels and lox. Now, granted, you got to pay for it. I mean, it was half a salmon.
Yeah. See, I'm
like,
in.
To a okay. point where I was like, this is almost too much lox.
Shut up. Hello, Alex. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how's it going?
Hola.
So, my story, a construction worker, you know, got the gut truck, roach coach, whatever you want to call it. Well, one day, summer, decided to go for a chicken burrito, whatever, hidden chicken, anything. And, well, I am thoroughly under the impression that was not chicken that day.
What do you think it was?
Dude, could have been cat, rat, could have been raccoon, anything they found on the street.
Did you get sick?
Oh, man, I spent every 15 minutes running to the portage, John.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good.
Then other guys start getting upset, like, hey, man, we got to use that, too. And we don't know what's wrong with it, but it's like a gas chamber.
But you have to admit, food trucks have taken, like, they've done a 180. As far as, like,
yes.
I mean, like, you know, it used to be just hot dogs or whatever they had, bag of chips or something, a sandwich or two. But now, you know, like, yeah. I don't think twice about eating in a food truck.
Well, no, because it's, I mean.
But growing up, I did. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because it wasn't a thing.
But food trucks, to me, have always been a little different than the roach coach.
Well, sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's the truck that has the big silver thing on the back.
Because when I was a kid, we used to, there was a barbecue stand that was like basically a truck on the side of the road. And that's where you'd go to get ribs and stuff. Or like crap. Like, but yeah, the roach coach always had kind of a different thing. It shows up to the work site. Like, because it's all in one. There's burgers. There's burritos.
Right.
There's
you don't specialize in anything. And you're right. Yeah. Something like barbecue, it could just be
barbecue's different too.
On the side of the road. Cooking with a trash can, and you're like, I'm going to get his barbecue, right? But anything else, you were definitely rolling the dice. But now all these food trucks are so specialized that you know, and look, something has happened in the last 10 years where street meat is a sales pitch. When I was growing up, somebody said, you want street meat? Be like, I don't know what it is, but absolutely not. That sounds awful.
Well, even like in New York, they were famous, but they were hot dog stands.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know why the words make such a difference. But like, yeah, like food trucks, hot dog stand, fine. But like a roach coach, you're like, all right, we'll roll the dice.
I mean, if you call it a roach coach, you already know what you're getting into.
I miss the hot dog stands that used to be downtown in Seattle. There would always be one someplace. You could find two or three of them. You know, get a Seattle dog with cream cheese on it and all that stuff. By the way, if you ever see a barbecue place in a gas station parking lot that's kind of like a temporary but permanent place, you know what I
right.
mean? Get their barbecue. I don't know what I don't know what it is about the combination between a gas station parking lot and barbecue, man, but I mean, I've never had bad food ever in one of those places.
And I forget about the Seattle dog. I did it on a trip. This trip I was just on. I was like, we've got cream cheese? No, Teddy. No.
Don't do it.
Why would you put cream cheese on a hot dog? I was like, they ended up liking it, but I was like, let me toast the bun.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Toast the bun.
Okay, there you go.
Because we were the same way, but it is delicious.
I did not know, man. When we first moved here, it was like late. We were in Pioneer Square. I think is it E&J's or whatever the hell it's called, but J&M's. We walk out. We are smashed, but there's a hot dog stand. And so the guy's loading it up with stuff, and he's just like, hey, man, do you want cheese on it? I'm like, yeah, why the hell not? And I remember him putting the cream cheese on. And my words to him, are you effing with me? He looks at me and says, what the hell are you doing cream cheese? How long have you been in Seattle? At that point, I'm like, 3 weeks. So I got the Seattle dog. I was like, yeah, all right, man. Mm-hmm. I took a bite. I'm like, oh, my God, this is delicious.
I think that's the only style of hot dog where the bun has to be toasted. There's no other, you know, that's the only
I like a steam bun.
I do. I don't like the cream cheese. You can't spread the cream cheese on a soft bun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and those all those stands will be back. You just needed people in bars that are open.
Drinking.
Yeah, the current clientele.
When did food do you dirty? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Joe. Welcome to the men's room.
How's it going, guys?
Hola.
So, real quick, Ted, I don't know if you're a Formula One fan.
I am.
Have you seen the series on Netflix, F1?
That's what got me into it. F1, Drive to Survive.
Excellent. So I've got two stories.
All right.
One was a number of years ago. I was camping, and I cooked a can of chicken noodle soup on the fire and ate it, and it must have gotten bacteria in it when they canned it because I had explosive diarrhea for 2 days.
Oh, while camping.
Oh. While camping.
Never good.
Not a good time. And the second one is I bought a bunch of great organic groceries and made an awesome stir fry, started eating it, and little white worms started crawling out of the broccoli.
Ah! No, that is not all right.
Organic. Well, yeah. The worms organic then. No pesticides.
They were.
That's why they're there.
Jesus, man.
Because they don't put pesticides. I'd almost rather eat the pesticide than eat the worm.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only problem. And I mean, look, a lot of with the recalls and stuff like that, a lot of it's organic stuff, but I get it. You don't want to eat pesticide, don't eat pesticide. I don't want to eat pesticide, but the flip side of that is now it's pest friendly, and you're just not sure.
You shouldn't be shocked if you have bugs in your lettuce.
But here's the difference. I think people are cool with, but not cool with bugs, but like when you wash lettuce or produce, if you see bugs, you just go, oh, I'm glad I washed it. If you see worms, like they throw it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People just cannot get past that. No. Myself included.
When did food do you dirty? 206-421-ROCK.
By the way, you ever had swordfish? I've never actually eaten swordfish, but back to the restaurant with the jumping lobster hearts, we had a special on swordfish. And I remember the chef comes in, and he's kind of frantic, and he goes, look, man, when you're prepping this stuff, be real careful. If you see any little blue dots, it looks like blue holes, he's like, you got to take like a pair of tweezers and pull the worms out that are in there. And I'm like, well, it can't be that bad. It was awful. And at this time, this is late 90s maybe, something was going on with swordfish specifically where they're getting these parasitic infections. And when you think of a parasite, typically you're thinking something microbial that you can't see. Oh, you could see these, all right? So you get these steaks, and each steak had like two or three of these little blue holes. And you put tweezers in, and they look like grubs, but they're blue.
Ah.
Dude, it was so gross. And I'm like, I cannot believe we're serving this to people. But so part of the thing was if you ordered the swordfish, not that you had to like sign a waiver, but you had to be made aware, not necessarily that the swordfish were about to give you may or may not have had worms. They did. But just that swordfish right now in the industry were going through this thing. And people didn't care. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, we heard that.
And somehow they survived the cooking process.
But I was like, dude, if you saw what we saw in the kitchen, you would not order this. Like,
that's why people get sick off raw salmon so much.
Sure.
I only had it once in 2011, so I think I'm okay.
Maybe. We'll never know. It might still be inside of you.
When did food do you dirty? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Hola. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Aaron, how you doing, man?
Good, good. Wow, first time calling, long time listener. Good to be on.
We appreciate the show.
My story is I'm a construction worker, and they sometimes give out these big old breakfasts, and they have these breakfast burritos. And I was in Seattle. I live in Tacoma. That's important. I had a breakfast burrito. Right about lunchtime, I started feeling really bad, really bad. So I told my foreman, say, hey, I don't think I can make this. I got to go. So I go down to Pine Street to catch the bus. Oh. Sure enough, I see the bus leave. I'm like, oh, crap. And right, my stomach's gurgling, and I'm just, oh, I'm not, oh, this isn't going to be good. So I grab a stranger, and I wait for the bus. And it's one of these times where the bus is going to run late. And so by the time I get on the bus, it's packed. And then I start puking. And
I puke
into my hard hat. And I fill my hard hat up after two pukes. And I puke into the stranger. And the guy sitting next to me gets up and goes and stands in the aisle. You know, I mean, it just keeps coming. I'm just like, I've never puked this much in my life.
And how long between the time that you ate it until the time that you started getting sick?
3 hours.
Okay.
And I'd had nothing else to eat all day.
So how long was that trip to Tacoma then on a bus?
Oh, you know, it's always long, but it was really long that day. And, you know, you get to the five curves, and, man, that traffic's slowing way down. And, granted, we're at, like, 10:30 in the morning, but still, it was a summer day, so the bus was hot. I'm sweating. I'm puking into – now I'm puking into my shirt because I'm like, what do? Do I just puke on the seat? And everybody in the bus is grossed out. So we get to the transit station. I get out in shame, and I walk to my car. But this is where it gets really bad, because I built this homemade rat rod thing that has about an inch of travel, and it's stiff as all get out, and it attracts every eyeball you can imagine. And at this point, I'm trying not to crap myself, and I realize I've driven that car, and now I got to drive, and I'm kind of holding myself up off the seat, trying not to be obvious, but, you know, it was horrible.
Was that your last breakfast burrito?
It was. I won't eat construction food anymore.
Did you make it home before you crapped yourself?
Yeah, barely.
Not a lot of
it was a serious, like, open the door, run to the bathroom, not even time to shut the front door. Just like, oh, my God.
I think sometimes, too, with construction workers, it's just, is it just law of averages? Right? Because they're always grabbing stuff pre-made at gas stations and these roach coaches. Mm-hmm. So it's like maybe they just have more of a, just they eat more of that stuff because it's their job.
You roll the dice on what's available. It's not like they have time off to go to the Met Grill.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, and we walk into 7-Eleven, and they're loading up on stuff, and I get it. And the difference is, you know, you're eating this every day, sooner or later. You know, 7-Eleven strikes. I completely get it. And if you're not going there, then you're eating McDonald's every morning. And then if it's not that, whatever random food truck. I will tell you this, though, and this was back when things were normal. You know, you go someplace, there's like 8 or 9 food trucks. And if it's near a construction site, they do great business. But I would look to see where the construction workers go. So if like 1 or 2 of those food trucks was not getting a whole lot of traction, I'm like, I'm not eating there.
Not only that, but those guys, man, they're working their asses off. So they eat a lot of lunch. Like when you go and you're ordering and there's construction workers around, like they're not eating a 6-inch Subway sub.
No.
They're getting like double meat on a 12-incher, right. You know what I mean? 2 bags of chips, huge Coke. So when they get sick. When did food do to you dirty? 206-421-ROCK.
They're going to actually burn off the calories.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the difference.
Exactly.
Ted, I don't want to gross you out, but someone here says, I decided to Google swordfish parasites, and I'm very glad I don't eat fish now. It is not an image you want to see, man. Seriously, it is.
Again, I had it in 2011, feeling confident. It was the late 90s, right?
That I was dealing with the weird blue thing. But again, it's just the fact that on your cutting board, as you're pulling these things out, you know, you're going through steak after steak after steak, then you look at your cutting board, and it is a moving mass of that, these blue maggot-looking things.
It's more like steak. So it's always kind of dry. It's not necessarily like, if you said, you know, it wouldn't be like, oh, I got to have the swordfish. It's on the menu. It's just like, it's an option. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not the greatest fish.
But the thing is, we ran it as a special. And once you call something a special, now people are more willing to try it. Like, ooh, they have swordfish on special. We got it cheap. Ask yourself why.
Mm-hmm. When you go to Disney World, you can buy these meal plans.
All right.
Which we had done. That's how I know exactly it was 2011. So one night, we're at one of the fancier restaurants, because when you're on the meal plan, if you're eating all three meals, you can go to any restaurant you want on property.
Oh, nice.
So one of the resorts, like, it was like a popcorn-encrusted swordfish. So I was like...
How was it?
It was delicious. But I was like, you're exactly right. I was like, when the hell else am I going to eat swordfish? I'm getting it.
Right. When did food do you dirty? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Edward. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, men. Thank you.
Hola.
Hola, Edward.
So I got to say, I appreciate your show. Every time I'm in traffic, I get to listen to you guys. So thank you and all that you do.
Thanks, man. We appreciate that. Traffic's getting a lot lighter out there, isn't it?
Oh, that is a horrible joke.
Yeah. On all of us.
All right. Don't know if you gentlemen had commodity cheese before.
Commodity cheese?
Basically government
cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I overindulged. Long story short, made my trip to the bathroom, pushed out my butt guts. It was a brown murder scene. It was bloody.
Oh, no. So you turned yourself inside out?
I turned myself inside out, man. I tried to push him back in, right? Did not work.
Oh, no.
Then I had to go make love, like, 30 minutes later.
I had to.
Did you make love with your ass hanging out?
Yes, my butt guts were hanging out.
Ah!
Did she notice?
I was really trying really hard for her not to, like, go to the area.
Right. Sure.
Yeah, so I stuck the missionary, and I pulled it off.
That is dedication, my friend. Yeah. There should be like some kind of medal you can get. Where did
you get government cheese anyway?
So, well, first of all, if you're a low income family, you get to go to this place, and you get a box, and inside this box is like canned chicken, peanut butter, jelly, rice, beans, things that a family would need, and included in that box, along with milk, is a giant slab of government cheese. But that, it's the best cheese in the world, by the way.
That cheese does not need to be refrigerated, right?
It does not. It's hardcore.
Okay.
It'll last like 5 years.
Hardcore cheese. Yeah. I like that.
It's Velveeta, but worse.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, your dedication, though, man, that does not go unnoticed.
So what ended up happening? Did you have to go to the doctor or anything, or did eventually you figure out how to take care of that?
Preparation H, and I am not a sponsor. But yes.
Have you ever had that problem again?
Yes, I have. And the total opposite, because I'm lactose intolerant as well. So it can go either way. But the government cheese, I had too much.
Okay. Because, man, the next time you do it, the only advice I can give you is if you just have some Epsom salts on hand to draw a bath and just sit in that damn thing, because it'll really take the swelling down.
The only people I know with Epsom salts on hand are elderly.
Well,
and then people that went through crap like you.
Right, exactly.
You buy it when you need it, but it will not cross your mind until you're like, I need Epsom salts.
I don't have any currently, but I used to always have it.
Oh, yeah?
And where you buy it, sore muscles or something, you take an Epsom salt bath.
And everything around it is for people 80 plus, too.
Oh, yeah.
Every single item around
it's
that.
It's near the Depends.
Exactly.
Like, when I had to wear those things, the compression full
socks.
Length. Yeah, they sell those. They sell Epsom salt in that store.
And make sure that if you try anything on, you got to buy it. It's like that. You know what I mean? Like,
just the look of that woman's face. Like, can I help you? I was like, yeah, I need to get some of them. We only have the nude ones. Like, yeah, like grandma, wear jeans for the next month.
Oh, God. Who sucks less? Coming up, and we got your emails on our question, when did food do you dirty? You are listening to The Men's Room.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.